Gay goes on for many months in that fashion after that. They're called the Incredible Bongo Band, so of course there's going to be a big old bongo solo, and how many people in life want to hear that? But up till then, a very, very fine version of Apache. You know what? I'm almost disheartened that Hank was on the show. Well, it must have been at least 5 years ago last time we did
a
show
together. Yes.
And apparently I played that track then it's a very good track. It's a very good song as well. Hank Marvin in the house. I don't know if that works in the house with Hank Marvin, does it? In the studio.
Good morning.
Thank you for coming on, Hank. We were just marvelling, and none of us have heard it yet, your new album. It must be the greatest album of all time.
Of course it is.
There you go. Hank Marvin, ladies and gentlemen. The fact that, Hank flew from Perth this morning, got in at like 6 or something.
And the arms are tired, I can tell you.
What year is this?
But I never 1849.
Somewhere I never was.
Remember, still only 1943 in Perth.
But if I got off a plane then, it would just be, I'd be grumpy for about a week. And then I would sleep for about a month. And the fact that Hank is here with his Billabong shirt on, ready and willing to discuss,
and not dishevelled either.
Not at all dishevelled.
Well, you should have seen him at 6 o'clock this morning. I was extremely shevelled.
Right. So what have you been? Have you been off showering? You've probably been to some sort of Turkish steam bath, have you?
No. I just got to the hotel and unpacked. Had a shower, put some clean clothes on, smelled much better.
So yeah, have you come over just to talk about, obviously not just for this show, but have you come over just to talk about
that? What do you mean not just for, of course I came just for this show.
That's right,
it was worth every penny.
The 1 o'clock flight back.
Yes.
I stand by this album. It's like Alan Sugar selling premium bonds.
Indeed it is.
Yeah. So you live there now and have done for quite a long time.
Yeah, just over 20 years, 20 and a half years in Perth. In sunny Western Australia.
And I assure you,
I don't mean this to sound rude, but why Perth?
It was actually a typing error. I went to Penrith. and I got out of the way.
Have you been going through Frank Carson's bin?
Well, he goes through mine. No, the reason why we went to Perth is we were thinking of going to Spain to get away from the cold, damp, wet winters. You know what it's like.
Indeed, I do.
And having travelled a lot over the years, you realise that there are plenty of lovely places in the world apart from the UK. And I'm not putting down the UK, by the way. Not at all.
Oh, you have to play it so carefully these days.
You've got to be very in the middle.
slams the UK.
In the nick of time.
But we had to learn Spanish, which we were trying to learn. And then we suddenly thought, hey, what about Australia? You know, they can almost speak English there. We got there, and sure enough, they could almost speak English.
Because I bet
Perth
is sort of like the isolated city of Australia, isn't it?
Because
it's right over on the west, and it takes kind of a week to get there by car.
Did I see something on the TV about there being a tremendous water shortage there, or there's going to be? They're very worried about it.
Generally in Australia, yes. The eastern states have had, some have been in drought for several years now, so they've got real problems. WA has not been so bad, but we have been getting less and less rainfall. When we went there, the average rainfall was more than you get in London, but it used to fall within about 3.5 months. But now it's kind of reducing every year, so who knows? Soon we'll all be moving back to the UK or something
now,
like
Nick,
that.
Isn't this a queer circumstance? You were saying earlier on, you know, obviously for a whole, probably many generations of British musicians, Hank is the man who, you know, is the instigation for it.
Yep.
Who would have thought the first time you ever met him, you'd be asking him about the water shortages in Perth?
Yes, yes.
Immediately.
Right.
That's all I've ever wanted to ask him.
Go get your priorities right.
<that's crazy. laughs> when you were starting out on the guitar, who were the heroes that you would have been, oh my God, I don't think I'd ever meet them, or I couldn't cope if I met them?
Ah, the heroes. The
who would I ask about water shortages in various parts of the world if I ever got to meet them?
Good question. I always thought if I ever met Scotty Moore, I'd ask him what the water shortages were like in Nashville, somewhere like that.
Mm.
Cliff Gallup with Gene Vincent, great. Buddy Holly, even Chuck Berry's solo.
But yeah, I'm surely you met most of them along the way.
No, I didn't meet any of them.
Really?
No, unfortunately. Unfortunately. I did remember seeing you, Nick, at one of the awards, and I remember you picking up the award and coming out with a great quote. You said, "I bleed vinyl," and I thought, isn't that cool?
Oh, that's very good. He is made of plastic.
That's why they never asked me back.
Very hard to get a transplant.
It's all
as well,
stuck in the mind, you see.
I'm surprised though, because you know, in the early 60s, you were touring the States with all those rock and roll stars. I'm really surprised you didn't meet any of your the big boys.
Well, the nearest I got to meeting anyone like that was in Lubbock, Texas. We played there on the biggest show of stars, 1960 Winter Edition. And Cliff and the Shads were guest artists. We had a reasonable spot doing five tunes, which was as big as the top of the bill, and it was terrific. In Lubbock, Texas, we met some guys who said that they sang on the Crickets records as the backing group.
Right.
And we met Buddy's father. In fact, Buddy came to the show, hitting on Buddy.
Yes. Hello, folks.
His father came, and I was literally on the stage on my own, standing there strumming on the red Strat. And I guess it was weirder for him. It was almost a year to the day after Buddy died, and I was there with the horn rim glass on the Strat.
Yeah.
And he came up, and he said, It was quite emotional. He just looked for 30 seconds, didn't say anything, and I felt a little strange. Then he said, can I just tell you something? And I said, sure, what? He said, could you get me Cliff's autograph? Isn't that sweet?
Is that true?
No.
No, I didn't think it was. No. They both were like, oh.
I'll do anything for a laugh. It's all right.
Well,
what did he say?
We'll see if one
comes. He said your fries are undone.
Well, is that big time difference between here and Perth? That laugh might come in 7 or 8 hours. But it will come, Hank.
It will come.
Worth the journey.
It will happen.
Another one of your oft-quoted heroes, and I wasn't trying to lead you into this, but James Burton. I was going to play a James Burton
track. Fine player.
Certainly one, I suspect, for you as well.
Yes, his suits.
Yeah, indeed. James Burton was, at the time, the guitarist in Ricky Nelson's band, and this is one of the big hits from that. Maybe not necessarily on your playing style.
Probably. The thing is, with all of this stuff, really, Mark, that I listened to it, tried to emulate it as much as I could, given my limitations at the time, and fortunately, because I probably didn't do it very well, my own style developed from that. Mm. But they were all part of that foundation for it, really.
Because I assume that most people would know you for a very, very clean style.
Oh, very clean. Well, I used to wash my guitar constantly. That's why I could never do a thing with it.
Carson's going to be on the lawsuit.
We've done some pretty dirty sounding things in the past.
No, you have, Scotch on the Socks is one that I was going to play at some point anyway. But you are known for, you know, the American bands that were sort of copying the Shadows, the Ventures and people like that. Those very, very clean.
Yeah. Stars. Well, I think that was a period when we expected a guitar to sound like a guitar. And if the amplifier started to distort, you figured you'd done something wrong. It worked on certain things. There was a couple of our old records where you can hear a little bit of distortion, but it's fairly mild as to what compared to what followed in the sort of mid to late 60s. So that sort of trying to make the guitar sound like a guitar is against a saxophone or a trombone or something, which is not a bad idea, I suppose. But now I'm quite happy and have been for a long time to use a variety of sounds that what people expect me to sound like, plus some overdriven sounds and so forth. And I think it sounds more interesting. I used to love and still do the way things changed in the 60s with like Cream and Jimi Hendrix, all
Isn't
those
that
sounds.
Weird? The second time today Cream have been invoked. Nick saying that was the point, yes, it was over for me.
That's when I got off
the rock boat.
Well,
I love
the. They sound great now at the time.
Yeah,
the time,
actually, it sounds terrific.
Yeah, they sound really good.
Sounds terrific.
I didn't like it at the time.
Oh, okay. Well, I can't quite write that out.
Well, because it was too sort of thumpy or too kind of loud or something.
There is a sort of bombasticity.
So when they started miking things up, I think that's when I went off it. I liked it before they put mics on all the instruments, you know.
Now I know it's good because during that last track...
We never used microphones when we recorded.
You what?
No. We never used microphones when we recorded. You're looking puzzled, folks.
Yes, I am, yes.
No, that was a joke. Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
That was a joke.
But you could, as an instrumental band...
It's an Australian
band,
joke.
As an instrumental band, that would have worked fine, wouldn't it?
Exactly.
Having no... Oh, I see.
But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Hold on, time difference. I'm going to get it soon.
No, he just said about using microphones and everything.
Just
no,
come
I mean,
in,
I'm standard out
just
thinking,
come in, man, South Africa.
I know a true situation at Abbey Road where our engineer then, Peter Vince, was recording this young woman, opera singer, and her father, who thought she was wonderful from the north, and he was setting the microphone up, and the father said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm putting up a microphone." He said, "She doesn't need a microphone. She's got a fantastic voice."
No time difference on that one. You're back on UK time. Did you ever do session work for people?
Not really. I did a few guest spots, but never got asked back again. I'm trying to think who I've done things with. Shaking Stevens, hey.
Right, yeah. Cream.
Did try thing. Cream who?
I can't imagine you on stage with Cream. That would have been a shocker.
Oh, I've been on stage with Mark Knopfler, Dire Straits. I did all their London gigs on their Brothers in Arms tour. It's fantastic. I was invited on to do the Going Home track, because we did it, the Shaz did a version, but we did obviously the Dire Straits arrangement. And I got this wonderful reception when I walked on, which was gratifying, because I thought I might get booed when I came, and it was great. But the great thing was, that was the last number, so we finished this, and there was this wonderful applause, and I did nothing, basically. They'd worked for 2 hours, and I get all this great applause at the end of the show, and we all walked off. I thought, this is the only way to live.
It's the only way to live.
Thank you, Mark.
That's very much semi-retirement, Nick.
Yeah,
that's how it works.
Definitely.
excuse me. I mentioned your new album is called Guitar Man, and I also mentioned, what have you called the last 30 years of albums? Surely, I can't believe you never got around to calling an album that before.
Interesting question. I don't know why.
Right.
Perhaps it's, in fact, I didn't even think of this. Brian Berg, my record company chief at Universal, wanted me to do that track. He thought it would be a good title for the album. And we've done a very different version. It's not at all like the Bread version. It sounds a bit more like South African, sort of Cajun, Irish. Oh, you don't know.
He was just throwing words in there. None of that made any sense. South African, Irish Cajun.
Does it have to at this time anymore?
No. All right, well, which track do you want to hit? It's not one of them cavatina ones that goes on for 14 hours.
Play the Guitar Man.
Guitar Man by Hank Marvin from the album of exactly the same name. Is that out now?
No, it's not called exactly the same name. It's called Guitar Man.
It's so lovely watching you two together. Just, I wish there was. Is there a webcam?
We're not dancing.
We're just
swapping. No, they're just the second
congratulating Nick on his production of Pump It Up, the Elvis Costello.
Yeah, you took your time.
Great record.
1978.
Love it. One of my favourites. Caller. That is seriously.
Well, you were asking about whether my people had figured out where the money from the sample been sampled by somebody that Pump It Up.
Yes, it has.
Because it's weird as a stand-up. If you work in America or Canada, they play you on with music, whereas in this country they can't be bothered, can they?
No.
It's like, oh, please welcome. And I did the Montreal Comedy Festival, and they said, "What play on music do you want?" I was like, "What are you talking about?" I said, just any Elvis Costello, and of course they played Pump It Up, which actually made the audience have rather higher expectations than they should have done.
It's
to
quite
be
hard to follow, isn't it?
Because
you get on. All you can say is
hello.
That's it. And as you come on, you're like jumping about and you smash, you know, some act smash things on stage.
Has I been our dear friend Ian Cognito or a comic of that ilk? You know, a wild kind of hairy sort of in your face comic that might have worked. But I just went on and I went, oh, good evening.
Yes. You know. I like that song. Hello. Yeah, it works fine with
that.
Yeah,
that would have worked.
And no disrespect to the song at all.
That's what I'm going to ask for next time I'm over there.
I very almost went into the Crossroads theme there. Which would be a terrible walk-on music, wouldn't it? Ladies and gentlemen, all the way from England, Joe Brand. The Crossroads theme
comes on. I'd rather like that, actually. I would. I loved Crossroads. Did you like Crossroads?
Me?
Yes.
Human Footprint Time.
I hardly ever saw it.
How often in your life do you ask Hank Marvin if he likes Crossroads?
Exactly. I like the track by Cream, the live track.
Oh, we're back to Cream again.
That was good.
It's obsessed with Cream.
No, I'm not obsessed at all. What are you talking about? What
are you talking about?
Excuse me.
You come over and you get off the plane. This is always the way with you, Marvin.
But I think
you get off the plane. It's Cream this, Cream that, blah, blah, blah.
But when I next have a coffee, Fiona, can I have some Cream in it?
I knew it was going that way.
The Cream in my coffee.
That was a long journey for that pun. Really? To fly from Perth. And you know, his intro music was some Cream in my coffee, and then off. Ladies and gentlemen, hey Marvin. There will be younger people listening to the show who don't know that you're a guitarist, won't know all the illustrious
past.
All they know is he's the bloke who comes on, rambles on about Cream when he's got jet lag.
Exactly.
Is that how you want people?
That's not a bad way to remember.
It is. No, Hank.
No, not
he's the man who rambled on about Cream when he had jet lag.
That, Hank, that is. There's no one wants that on their tombstone. Do they?
I hope I get nothing on my tube, so just nothing. On the whole, I'd rather be on Mark's show.
Yeah, there
that's
you
all
go.
Lisa selling
that. That's a pretty poor tombstone as well. I'd rather be above this. anyway, thank you very much for coming in, Hank. If you've got
is
any,
that it, then?
You can stay around if you want.
God, dear. You've flown all this way for this?
No, all right, stay around. Yeah. He's going to just whinging.
What are you writing about this guy?
Oh, he's got,
is that because I mentioned Cream two or three times?
Yes, he's got a long list of Cream puns he wants to throw into the show.
I've run out of
hang
Joe.
About.
How
stay,
about you,
no,
Joe?
Stay.
I really know you're covering yourself. What was it? Your fantasy cover yourself?
He hasn't got any shot headphones on. He doesn't know there's a train.
Oh, yeah, that's well remembered.
Thank you.
Shadows, featuring, of course, Hank Marvin. Were you always known as the lead guitarist?
Yeah.
All right, oh no, quite aggressive,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, man.
Yeah, all right. Okay, that's no,
so, well, yes, I think on, in those days, Mark, seriously, that the way groups were made up, there was always a rhythm guitarist,
yeah,
who specialised in rhythm, funnily enough, and a lead guitarist who specialised in lead.
Yeah.
And I couldn't play rhythm, so I played lead.
Really? That's normally the other way around.
No, well, I mean, of course I can play rhythm, but, you know, it's... I always wanted to...
I lost it again! I always wanted to play... Near me and I couldn't spot it!
I always wanted to play tunes, or try to anyway. Perhaps I'm a frustrated horn player or something, I don't know, but I enjoy melodies and things. And
yeah, you know what, though, the disrespect, though, the... of course I could play rhythm, it's just below me. No, that's essentially, that. No, that's what you said.
Well,
let's get to 91 FM. This is Radio 2 from the BBC.
The news at 12 o'clock. This